If you got pain, he's a pain taker. If you feel lost, he's a way maker. If you need freedom, a savior, he's a prison shaking savior. If you got chains, he's a chain breaker.
Welcome to the Overcomers Radio Hour with Sean Ryan and friends. Please feel free to call us at 609-614-3801 so we may assist you in overcoming life-controlling issues. Here's Sean Ryan.
Hello and welcome to the Overcomers Radio Hour, where hope is alive and well. It's Friday night. It's 10 o'clock. It's me, Sean. I'm your host for tonight with my good friend and a great co-host, Coleman Wallace.
Well, hello.
You see how I tried to get deep there, too, with you?
Yeah, you tried to get the smooth jazz
Coleman, that Coleman Wallace sound.
Yeah, that's pretty good, right?
Yeah, that's good,
I think
good,
I've been practicing.
A little better than I am.
I've been practicing, man.
All right.
So we're here. It's time for, we're going to have a great show tonight. First of all, we just came from a great Overcomers group.
Excellent.
I thought it was really good. Yeah. Full house tonight, right? Uncle, see, Tom, I'm putting you on, man. I'm putting the mic on. I got Coleman's Uncle Tom here, too, with us tonight. Uncle Tom is an overcomer, and he's going to hang out with us tonight, and I'm going to get him to chime in a little bit, just because you see where he's coming from. Tom, how old are you, Tom? 77 years old, okay? That's some long wisdom right there. Wisdom right there. Tom been doing this a long time.
Right.
All right.
Right.
And Tom got a story to tell. And what we're talking about tonight, it's funny that he's here because that really resonates with his life. Okay. And what he's been through and where he's at now. The topic we're going to have tonight definitely reflects his life. So actually, it's a perfect night for you to hang out with us, Tom. So we're glad you're here, buddy.
Thank you.
No problem. So we just came from the Overcomers group. I want to say we had 35, 40 people there, something
about
like that.
Yeah.
It was a good group. Now, what really surprised me, though, okay, mm-hmm. is Steve, one of the guys, invited two Mormons.
Right.
Right?
Yeah.
I was watching, I'm sitting there talking as everybody's coming in, and I'm looking, and I'm like, that looks like some Mormons. You know, they have the elder on there, and they mm-hmm. go around, and you got to give them credit, because they go out, and they do their missionary journey here, and they go to different places for years, and they give the gospel according to the Mormons,
right.
Which is not what we believe. There are some differences, but the fact that they were there, we didn't want to, talk to them about how their religion was wrong and how you shouldn't have other books and John Smith and that whole thing. Mm-hmm. They just sat and they listened and they got a chance to hear the testimony of people who've been radically changed by the true gospel of Jesus Christ, mm-hmm. right?
Yes.
And they got to hear that. And all we can do is hope that the Holy Spirit just put a little something in them.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Just a little something in them.
I believe one of them.
I believe that they will be back.
I believe so too, Tom. I think they will come back. I did invite them back, and I hope they do. What were you saying?
Oh, well, one of them read your sheet this month, scriptures from it, and that was awesome.
They did. They did read the sheet.
They participated.
Yeah.
They didn't. It wasn't that they were just there.
Yes, yes.
They weren't just bodies.
Right. He did read the scripture verse that we were studying for that particular time, and also asked for a prayer request.
Yes.
One of his friends that mm-hmm. was battling cancer. So it was nice to interact with them.
It was.
And I'm glad because I'm sure I can't imagine that they in that type of environment and the way they do religion, that they have a group similar to ours. I can't imagine they see that something like that on a regular basis.
Hmm.
Probably not. So it was good. I'm glad he invited them there. I was a little nervous at first. I'm like, I hope they're not going to try to get doctor on me right in the middle of the group. But they didn't. They were quiet. They listened. They were very respectful. And I'm glad they came. And I'm hoping that they come back.
Yeah, me too.
All right. So what I like to do, it's 10:07. I want to talk about what's trending right now. Okay. Because we always like to have a little bit of what's trending, what's going on. So I just found out, and I did not know this, on our radio station, every day at 4 o'clock, they play the word of the day. You know what the word of the day is?
I didn't hear it today.
Okay. But it's not an actual word. It's a word.
Oh.
Yeah, like a message.
Play
right.
On words.
Play on words. There we go. So it's not like the word of the day is, safety.
Right.
Safety means it's a word. And what they do is at 4 o'clock every day, except for Thursdays when Pastor Russ is on. We'll talk about that too.
Right.
They, for about 15 minutes, you get to hear a little, you know, synopsis or whatever you want to call it, of the message from last Sunday, right? About what Pastor Russ talked about, and I think that's great because if you miss Sunday, you can get caught up, but if you heard Sunday, you can listen in again and get refreshed.
That's right.
Sometimes you got to hear the message more than once.
Now, are they keeping the message on the website as well?
That's a good question. Mm. So we're going to have to ask Joe Crouchman about that.
Yeah.
I think it is on the website too. Okay. I think it's going to become available on iTunes or something like that too. But I know that every day at 4 o'clock, they play the word of the day and you get to call
it. I'm going to enjoy that.
Yeah. I'm going to check that out. I did not know that.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, what I do know is that I missed Pastor Russ this Thursday.
I did too.
Yeah, I did. But, yep. And I know that usually I get an update. They tell me, you know, on my Facebook or Instagram that Pastor Russ is going to be coming on. So, and I didn't see it. And I understand because, you know, he's busy and they're doing a lot of work in this station. It's hard to get everybody set in and get everything set up. So, Pastor Russ, just so you're aware, even though you haven't heard in a few weeks, he does come on every Thursday. And I know next Thursday, from what I hear, he is coming back on because I want to hear him. And I know you want to hear him too. He has conversations with Russ. Okay. And what that is you get an opportunity to really kind of interact with our pastor about topics that are going on, whatever. Topics are going on in community, topics going on in the church, things that he preached about. He's going to have a small little message too. And he always has Reuben there with him, which we love. We love Pastor Reuben. I like to call it, you know what I like to call it? A little afternoon R&R.
That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. But what were you calling it?
Oh, Recess with Russ.
I have a little Recess with Russ. Yeah, I like that too. So you call whatever you want. Conversation with Russ, Recess with Russ, or a little afternoon R&R.
I like the R&R.
I like the R&R. So Thursday, 4 o'clock, you don't want to miss it. It definitely is a good time. It's a good half hour, and you get an opportunity to interact with our pastor and ask him some questions because, you know, he's a busy man. It's hard to get a hold of him sometimes. I mean, you know, he does the services. He talks to people the best he can, but there's a lot going on in that man's life.
Yeah.
God's called him to a big job, a big appointment, and he's doing a great job.
Yep. He's got a schedule him for a house anointing.
Yeah?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
A blessing.
A house blessing for your house?
Yeah, my house.
You know what? I have not had him do that for mine.
Mm.
I'm going to have to get him over.
Yep.
All right. So listen, when you're done with them, send them to me.
You got it.
All right. Praise the Lord. All right. Anyway, so that's what's trending with Life Radio that I know of right now, besides our show, Overcomers Radio Hour, every Friday night at 10 o'clock to about 11, sometimes 11:30. Joe says we can go as long as we want. So, hey, we'll take advantage of it when we can. Then what else is trending right now? The Overcomers group, right?
Yes.
Always every Friday night at 7 o'clock.
Sharp.
No one ever shows up on sharp, though.
No.
We don't start to about 7:15, just so you know. We'd like to start at 7, but we give it to about 7:10, 7:15. You can come if you need a good community group to get involved in, talk about life-controlling issues, about, you know, just to be able to share, to vent, where there's no judgment, you know. No one's going to look at you wrong because you did this or that, because we've all done things wrong, where you can get it out and share and start becoming an overcomer. That's the group you want to come to.
Oh, well, there's a testimony tonight about the group, just how open, you know, people are about the issues that they're dealing with in their lives. And it was so refreshing to hear it come from someone else.
Yes.
You know,
yes.
We see it.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
You
right. Know. And she has a lot of experience in that field.
Oh, absolutely.
She's, I think, a licensed counselor for families who deal with drug addiction or things like that, or grieving and stuff like all that kind of stuff. And so she's been involved in a lot of these things. And she it was nice to hear her perspective on it. This is pretty amazing, this group, the way it works.
Yeah, she sees the value.
She sees the value of it. And she says, you can just see that God is in this group.
Oh,
you
that's
know?
Awesome.
And that's what it's about. It's not because of me. It's not because of you. It's the people are great and we get together as we, but it's really because we honor God when we come there.
That's right.
We read the scriptures and we know that's truth. We trust the Holy Spirit that's going to move, and God, he does. Mm. He shows up. And it was a great group tonight. We did step four.
Yeah.
18 months to get to step four, Coleman.
Well, you know, step by step.
That's good. Step one way or another, step by step. So we're at step four, which is we've made a fearless and moral inventory of ourselves. And that's a hard step for a lot of people to deal with. And I'm glad we got to talk about it tonight. And some people shared some of the things that they're dealing with and things that they had to face. And we're going to continue on with that. So if you're looking for a great group, Fountain of Life Center. Go to the Life Center building Friday nights, 7 o'clock. It's event room 1A or A1. I don't know how they, it's either 1A or A1. It's in the back. If you just go into the desk, ask them where Overcomers is, you can't miss it. There's a group of about 40 people who get together every Friday night, and we're growing. And it's just a great group of people. I encourage you to come out and get involved. You know, even if you don't have a life controlling issue, it's just a nice group to get involved with.
Oh, it really is.
I mean, you make good friends. I mean,
socialize.
Talk about the Lord, pray for people. I mean, we pray for people. We help people. Like, how about Tommy? We got Tommy a place.
Is
that
great.
Cool?
That is great.
All right. And you know, and that is a birth of Jimmy Esposito. Right? Jimmy, who is my other co-host here, who's away on vacation, good for him, down in Florida, living the dream.
Right, sun and fun.
That's right, sun and fun. He worked really hard to get that motel ministry out. Going out to that motel, knocking on the doors,
faithful to it,
bringing people to church. Got Tommy. Tommy's been faithful for a while. It's got to be close to 7-8 months now he's been coming here, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And because of that, Tommy's been baptized, comes to Overcomers, and now he's coming out of the motel, and he's going to finally have his own apartment.
That is a testimony that he is going to sing someday.
I mean, it's just amazing. And that's what it's all about. Getting out, getting on the ground, pounding the pavement, boots on the ground.
No, we talk about those boots on the ground.
Boots on the ground. Okay, yes. Yeah, I can talk about Faces of Change now. So I'm going to talk about Faces of Change now.
Yes.
So, all right, so getting out there, getting it done. And one ministry that does that, and I love this ministry because I follow them all the time. I get to see them on Facebook now. I think they're on Instagram now. I think they popped up on Instagram. They got Instagram. Yeah, man, they got an Instagram page. Yeah, word, you can say word.
Okay.
I think they got a Twitter page. I'm not a Twitter guy, so I don't even know. But I know they got Facebook. I know they got Instagram now. And I get to follow them. I get to see all the work that's being done. And Faces of Change in Camden is just an awesome, awesome, awesome ministry. Out there, like you know I say, boots on the ground, making it happen, talking to people on the streets, pulling them out of the gutter, sticking them in programs, ministering to them, getting them into programs. And then they come out of the program and they come back and they share their story and give back.
A ministry that's alive.
That's right. That's right. That is a live and working ministry. So I would recommend if you need a ministry to support, that would be a good one. Faces of Change in Camden. You can go to Faces of Change on their Facebook page. It's easy to find. Just type in Faces of Change. Boom, it'll bring them right up. Yeah. You can get involved that way. Lucy and Will DeBose do a great job. And even if you don't want to support them yet, you just want to see what they do, get onto that Facebook page and just follow
check
the things.
Out.
Yeah, check out the things that are happening. Follow them. And every day you're just going to see something new that's happening. Mm. Somebody's donating something because they want to support them. They just helped this one person get into this program. They just helped this person get into this program. They have different nights that they have. I think tonight or this afternoon at 12 o'clock, they have a group kind of like ours where you get together, you share things like that. I think they have like 2 nights a week or 2 days a week they do that. I mean, it's just a great, great program, and it's a privilege to be able to work with them. So that's what's trending now. Did I miss anything, Coleman?
Resonate.
Resonate, yes. So if you don't know what Resonate is, Coleman is going to explain it.
Oh, well, Resonate is such a wonderful ministry. It's a bunch of churches that decided they were going to get together and hold a song service with all of the different leaders all participating together.
Yeah,
I hear it's a great time.
Yeah, you haven't been to one yet.
I haven't been. No.
Are you serious?
No.
Wow. Okay.
No,
so
yes, I'm serious.
So this one, the 27th, you got to come.
Oh, I will be there.
Because if I'm not mistaken, I've worked it out with Calvary Delran and with Joe Crouchman that we should be broadcasting live from there. So hopefully we can stream the show and then we can broadcast, do some interviews, hang out, get Life Radio out there. It's going to be a great night. So when is it?
It's January 27th.
That's a Sunday night.
That's Sunday night.
Right.
And that's at Calvary Church at 317 Conroe Road in Delran, New Jersey.
That's right. Starts at 7 o'clock.
ResonateNJ.com.
ResonateNJ.com, or you can just do ResonateNJ on Facebook and you can follow them there.
Absolutely.
And they have a great Facebook page. It's a great time. You know me, I'm more of a conservative kind of guy. I'm not a, you know, I like music, you know what I mean? My worship's a little bit, but they get it in, man. And they have a good time, you know, and I'm not opposed to that. I think, you know, people are like, well, don't you think it should be more hymns and stuff like that? You know, I'm a reformer, I'm more of a conservative guy, but I think when you're doing it outside of the time where you come together as a body and you know, and you're just doing it because you just want to get together and have a good time and play some upbeat music and have some fun, man, and worship God and sing. I'm okay with that, man. Yeah, I think it's healthy.
There's a synergy that happens.
Exactly, right. You know, when we get together and we do our time of we're going to hear the word and we're going to get preached to and we're going to sing some songs, then I'm a little bit more conservative when it comes to that. I like a more conservative service. But when it's outside of the service and you're just getting together and getting a group of believers together and you want to have some fun, I mean, we're allowed to have fun. We're allowed to listen to some music, jump around a little bit and scream and shout, you know what I mean? And thank the Lord for all he's done. Heck yeah, I'm for it, man. So that's why I go to it. So Resonate, January 27th, Sunday, starts at 7. Doors open at like 6:30. So get there early because they serve food. They got like cookies and brownies and little finger foods and coffee and you know, and everybody just kind of hangs out and fellowships and talk. And then they get you into the room, the sanctuary, kind of with the stage, you know, and then it starts getting live.
Oh man, the church is going to feed you.
Yeah, the church is going to feed you, man. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So Resonate Sunday, January 27th, 7 o'clock. I definitely recommend you coming. And if you want, if you're not sure about it, you can meet us here at 6 o'clock. At the Fountain Life building, because we will drive together. We do a little carpool kind of thing. Okay, we meet here at 6 and we leave at 6:15 sharp. That gets us there about 6:30. We get in and we start hanging out. So if you want to come, you can follow us there. So listen, it's 10:20. I'm going to take a break, but listen, I just want to talk about what our topic is for tonight. Now, if you follow us on Instagram or Facebook, you already know this. Okay, and what I put up was, whatever happened over this past year, be thankful for where it brought you, where you are, is where you're meant to be, okay? God takes our pain and uses it for our gain, uses it for hope for others and for his glory, okay? That's biblical. It happens all throughout the Bible. It happened in my life. I know it happened in Tom's life. That's right. And it happened in Coleman's life, okay? God takes our pain, uses it for his gain, hope for others and for his glory. So what I want you to do is listen in, because I want you to call in. I'm sure some of you got some stories of what God has done in your life where you went through a trial, God delivered you out of it and made something beautiful out of it, right?
That's right.
He didn't make it in vain. He made it for our gain, right? That's what we're going to talk about tonight. I'm going to take a quick break. I'm going to play a little song here and then we'll be right back.
I try to hold on to this world with everything I have, but I feel the weight of what it brings and the hurt that tries to grab. The many trials that seem to never end, his word declares this truth, that we will enter in this rest with wonders anew. But I hold on to this hope in the promise that he brings, there will be a place where no more suffering. There will be a day with no more tears, no more pain, and no more fears. There will be a day when the burdens of this place will be no more. We'll see Jesus face to face. But until that day, we'll hold on to new ways. I know the journey seems so long. You feel you're walking on your own, and there has never been a step, but you've walked down all alone. Troubled soul, don't lose your heart, 'cause joy and peace he brings, and the beauty that's in store outweighs the hurt of life's sting. But I hold on to this hope and the promise that he brings, that there will be place with no more suffering. There will be a day with no more tears, no more pain, and no more fears. There will be a day when the burdens
if that song doesn't get you kind of feeling like excited about Jesus, I don't know what will.
I don't either.
Yeah, because there will be a day, right?
Are you looking for the soon coming King?
Yes, man.
And it's evident that it's here.
It's coming. That's right. And there will be a day, you know, right, where all those tears will be wiped away, all that pain will be gone, and life will be new.
Exactly.
Right? And he gets us through now. Don't get me wrong. I love my life. God's good. His blessings are good. His grace is good. His mercy is new every morning.
Amen.
But man, there's going to be a day.
Look what's happening right now in the world today.
That's right. That's right. So there will be a day. And that's just a great song. So listen, I want to talk a little bit about trials and things that we go through. Okay. Now, for me, most of them were self-inflicted. Okay.
Same here.
Right. I brought these things to myself. Right. Okay. Now there are things that weren't brought to myself. There were trials that I deal with. But either way, whether it was not my, I didn't inflict them or start them, or I did, the outcome still, because of God's grace, was the same. Yeah. Right. He took that situation and made it valuable for me anyway.
Grace does not change.
That's right. That's right. It's consistent.
That's right.
That's right. It's the same yesterday, today, tomorrow, right? Exactly. Comes from Jesus. So if he's the same, the grace that he gives is the same. Tom, you're getting good, man. So you're starting to break it down now. Slow down a little bit. I don't know if I can keep up with all that. All right.
Well, I studied hard for 20 years.
That's right, bro. I got a lot of learning to do.
Okay.
We're going to hear about it. All right. So and for me, it's like perfect example. Okay. Going to jail, losing my house, losing my kids, strung out, nothing left. Wife's a mess. Life is a mess. Everything's a mess, right? And when my kids got taken from me while I was in jail, that was the pinnacle point in my life where I knew that God was going to do whatever it took to get me to where he wanted me to be, right? To understand who he was. And people say, well, what kind of God would do that? A God who loves me and loves my children, because my children were safe, protected, safer with where they had to go than when they were with me and my wife, really, honestly.
Come on.
You know, they went to pretty much a little bit of foster care, but not long. And then they went to my family, who was able, weren't doing drugs. Nurture them, right. And then God worked on my heart. And then he took my wife and worked on our heart. And now look, right?
Back together as a whole.
That's right. We have our kids. We have our life. We have a house. I mean, so God took all of that and made that valuable, because now me and my wife can give that back to others. That's why we do the show.
I want to interject there, Sean.
Yes, sir.
Now, while those 20 years I was spent in prison, did you know my wife died in 2010?
I did not know that.
Yes, she died in 2010. Now I'm without, but I still love the memories of her, because she took care of my two boys and the three adopted kids that we had.
Right.
And, you know, I love her right now today.
Amen.
I'm sorry, I feel like.
That's
she's
okay.
She's got my heart.
Oh, well, praise the Lord. And
that's what drew me closer to him.
That's right. That's right. That's right. And death can do that too.
Yes.
Even with my mom. When my mom, she died of cancer a couple years ago.
Okay.
Almost 2 years ago. And it was sudden and fast. It came out of nowhere. Mm-hmm. She got diagnosed. 5 weeks later, she passed. Okay. And my mom got a good three and a half years of her son back, you know, where she got to see God do a work. Right. And, but you know what? I was either going to let that episode and that time, that pain, either throw me off to the old Sean, how I would usually deal with it, or that pain, I was going to dig in and trust God. And that's what I did. And that's what got me through that, digging in, trusting God, believing that, you know what? First of all, I knew my mom was saved. So she was going to heaven, right? Mm-hmm. Okay. Although I didn't want her to go, who am I to say when she can and can't go? I got no control over that.
Right.
And that God was ready, and she did a good work while she was here. And I got 3.5 years of quality time. God delivered me just in time to spend three and a half years of quality time with my mom. And she got to see all her children serving God. I mean, she wouldn't come back if she could right now. She could care less about me right now. She is in the face of Jesus.
That's it.
Right?
That's it.
There will be a day, and she got that day.
It was eight of us.
That's a big family. Man, I only got five kids, Tom.
And now it was eight of us. Now it's only six of us.
Okay. Well, praise the Lord. Tom, God obviously had a plan for you because he kept you alive, and he still got you alive, and he got you through prison, and now you're here with us on the radio. Can you believe that?
Yes, I can.
Desperate. Yeah, amen.
Anything
amen.
That God does,
amen.
It brings a change in my
that's
life.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
Don't
so,
think it's strange.
That's right. So that's the topic for tonight. What have you been through? What have you gone through in your life that you know that you can look back now and say, you know what? God, yeah. although it was difficult and hard to go through, I can see where God was in it through the whole thing, and now he's using it for my gain, for someone else's hope, and for his glory. So I want you to call in 609-614-3801 and let me know about one of those situations. And I also want to tell you, don't forget, we have the contest still going on, right? Sure. I have nothing here with the contest with me because this Friday came fast and I was ill prepared for that. I left it at home. I ain't even going to lie. So what I'm going to do, I do have a pen. I do have a paper. So if you call in, I'll take your name. I'll write you down. I'll put you in a ticket. And then if we call you, you win. First place is $500 or a Babe Ruth autobiography book that's very old and worth some money. Or second place, you get that or the $500. Second place, I know Coleman, you're starting to go already. Second place is $100, or you get the Wilt Chamberlain statue when he got his game for 100 points. It's old, and I know it's worth money, and Coleman is dying to get it.
Oh, I wish I could have that.
Yes, well, Coleman, I don't know if you can, but we'll see what we can do. So if you call in tonight, we're going to enter you for that contest, and then the contest will be held January. Coleman, give me some dates. I think it's, look at the 19th through the 29th. Tell me the Friday, the first Friday. After the 19th. I think that's the 25th.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so the 25th, January 25th is when we're going to have the drawing because that's when Jimmy's back.
All right.
And since Jimmy's the one who put up the money and all the prizes, and it was his idea, I think it would only be fair if he was here to be part of the drawing.
Oh,
right?
Absolutely, yeah.
So we're going to have Jimmy back here. So the 25th of January, that night, we're going to do the live drawing to see who the winner of the prizes are. So when you call in tonight, 609-614-3801, and you share, and you can share about anything you want, but you want to talk about the topic, what God has brought you through and how you saw him working you through it and how it's become beneficial to your life, how you've gained through that trial. When you call in, we'll get you entered for the contest, all right? And that'll be the 25th of January. Jimmy Esposito will be here, and we will be calling it out. So listen, I have a couple quotes that I found online that I think I'd like to read. Now, one of them is from one of my favorite preachers, Charles Spurgeon. The Prince of Preachers, they called him. Now, if you don't know this, Charles Spurgeon battled heavy, heavy depression.
Yes, he did.
His entire life. That's right. See, you read some Spurgeon, huh? You know a little bit about Spurgeon. Okay. See, that's my boy. I mean, you're going to talk now. All right. So here's something that he said, and I want you to listen in on this. Ready? I am the subject of depression, so fearful that I hope none of you ever get to such extremes of wretchedness as I go to. But I always get back again by this. I know that I trust Christ. I have no reliance but in him. And if he fails, I shall fail with him. But we know he doesn't fail. I think he's kind of being condescending there. Right. But if he does not, I shall not. Because he lives, I shall live also. And I spring to my legs again and fight with my depression of spirit and get the victory through it. And so may you do, and so you must, for there is no other way of escaping from it.
That's
it. So Charles Spurgeon, he says when he gets those big, heavy bouts of depression, that trial for him, he clings to Christ. Because that is the only thing
that will take you out of it.
That's correct. And by doing that, that's prayer. Mm-hmm. That's the word.
Concentration,
right? Some quietness alone with God, right?
That's right.
Casting out the cares of the world and focusing all
on Christ.
On Christ, right? In his word. Amen. And then he says, Charles Spurgeon also said this. He said, before any great achievement, some measure of depression is very usual. So it's basically like when we're going to achieve and we're going to get somewhere, there's always going to be a trial to get there, right?
Absolutely.
But he will never leave us nor
forsake us.
That's correct. So as we go through that trial, we have to know that God is going to get us through it. That's right. And he's going to use that situation for our gain. I know you, Tom, mm-hmm. You just shared your testimony over at the Overcomers Group, a little bit of it anyway.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
And you had mentioned that you got a good job, right?
I do not work. I'm retired.
Not now. Well, when you were, before you went to prison.
Oh, before
yes.
I had an excellent job.
Yeah, you had an extra job.
Yes.
And then something came up. Mm-hmm. You made a bad decision.
I made a bad decision right. at the wrong time.
That's right. And it got you locked up for 20 years.
Yeah, but you know, one thing about what God did for me is to make me realize that I was under his grace.
That's right.
And I had to go to prison to learn this.
That's right.
Because man could not tell me anything.
That's right. That's right. You know,
Jesus came to me one night. I got on my knees and I cried.
Yeah.
I cried two times in my life as an adult. That's one time when my wife passed, and the other time when Jesus came into my heart and opened my heart.
Amen.
And I appreciate him for doing that.
You better, boy.
And he gave me 77 years.
That's right.
And I'm going next month to become 78 if it's his will. Amen. It's not my will.
That's right. That is right. Now, I tell everybody this. If you look at the Old Testament, right? Mm-hmm. When his people, and we are God's people, correct?
Yes.
What was one way that he would bring them back to understand who he was and put them in right position? What was one of the things that they did in the throughout the old entire Testament, Israel was always
being misbehaved.
They misbehaving. And then what did God do when they misbehaved?
He always brought them through.
That's right. And he put them in captivity.
Yes, right.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
He locked them up.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
He
put
locked them up to show them.
Put them on time out.
That's right. A lot of it was our own, just like us, our own faults, making stupid decisions, doing dumb things, worshiping idols, whatever you want to call them, self, goodness. Money, yes. whatever we wanted to go through, all the things that we wanted, and then what would God do to us?
The same way.
He put me in jail, man.
Mm-hmm.
He put you in jail. He put you in jail, that's right.
Right.
You know why? Because he cares about you that much.
That's right.
Because really...
He has so much love for
That's
us.
Right, and that much patience. So I'm thankful for the times that I've been in jail because that's where I got, I'm going to tell you what, I mean, my mom told me one time, she said, Sean, if you don't get this thing right, if you don't start seeking God correctly, because you only do it in jail, he may just keep you there for a while,
mm-hmm.
right? He may just keep you there longer than you've been staying, your little 6-month stint, your little 9-month stint. He may just keep you there forever if he has to.
Right.
Because he wants you that bad.
Being stubborn like
That's
the
right.
Jews were.
That's right. Tom, okay. talking to the microphone a little bit more.
There you go.
Okay. Now we can hear you a little better. There we go.
All right. Being stubborn like the Hebrews were
yeah.
back during the days of Abraham.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Started with Abraham.
Right.
Then it was Isaac. And then there was Joseph. I can go on and on and on and name you names. Of the different prophets and the holy men of those days that God got into their hearts and showed them something.
Yeah, yep, yep.
And then when Jesus was born, it was another story. He died for our sins.
Yes, sir.
And he's still suffering for our sins because we will not turn to God and say that we love you, we love what you did for Christ, and... Let's keep it real.
Yeah. Yeah.
If we don't keep it real within us, how are we going to show someone else?
That's right. That's right. Mm-hmm. That's right. So speaking of showing someone else, I just want to mention this because it was pretty exciting to me. Okay. This is a testimony. And I shared it in group tonight. I'll share it again. That me and Michelle, my wife and I, we had our first opportunity to do an intervention.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Right.
Now, I don't have a lot of experience with interventions. I've never really done them. I've seen the show, you know, I watch the show a lot of times. I know the position of the person who's going through the intervention because I've been that guy. I never had an intervention done to me, but I just know that pain, that feeling they're going through. So we did some online, we did some studying on it, and we met with the family beforehand. They wrote their letters, you know, like they're supposed to,
right.
About, you know, how they're being, you know, how they feel, how much they love that person, how much they want to see them get changed, how much they want to give them help. So they wrote some good, heartfelt letters. We followed kind of a format that we were told. So we did it last night. And the young man came in, and it was a little, at first he was like, whoa, you know. He's like, he looked at us, he goes, what's going on, you know? And we started, I introduced myself. I kind of shared my story. I said, look, your family, they love you and they care about you. And they want to tell you how much they love you. And we want to offer you an opportunity, some help. Okay. Because we want to see the best for you. First thing he did, he said, I got to have a cigarette, man. Can I go out and have a cigarette? I said, okay, go ahead. You know, so he went out, huffed that cigarette down. Boy, in about 5 seconds, puffing that thing down. But he did come back in. He sat down and he listened. And I'm going to tell you, as we got through like the first, halfway through the first letter, he broke down. Just bawling. You know, the dad was reading some stuff, you know. We got to the mom. Then we got to the sister. And he just broke down crying, you know, saying how sorry he was. The family was hugging. It was a great moment because they don't always go like that.
Yeah,
and it was for my first one. I was very nervous, you know. Yeah. You know, sometimes they leave. They say they deny it. I don't have any problems. But, you know, we prayed. I mean, I prayed that morning for that night. You know, God, just bring your Holy Spirit there. Soften that boy's heart, man. We want him to live. You know, people are dying from this. And he was broke, man. And he decided to go get help. He did wait till the following morning, which I'm not a big proponent of. I usually want to get you in right then and there. But he did go. He's in the detox now. And he has started his new journey.
Hallelujah.
Yeah. Okay. So another life saved, man. And it's such a beautiful thing that we can go and we can give the gospel to somebody. We can tell them we want to help them and we can offer them that help. And then you see the Holy Spirit work in their heart.
Amen.
And then they get drawn to it and they go get the help.
That's right.
So I felt like faces have changed there for a second. Because what they do, man. They get down there and get people in programs, man. So I've gotten some people programs. So I felt like, all right, I'm on boots on the ground right there. That was my boots on the ground moment. Like phases of change, huh? Trying to keep up with them. Praise the Lord.
Amen. That's where the rubber met
the road. That's right. Rubber meet the road. So listen, 609-614-3801. I want to hear your story. I know some of you got a story, okay, about something you've been through, and now you have you overcame it, and God turned that pain into your gain and hope for somebody else. I mean, I got stories of the people who called in.
Oh, yeah.
Like Lucy from Faces of Change.
That was a great one.
That was a great testimony. Talking about the things she had been through, you know, substance abuse, sexual abuse, some things with that. And now look where she's at. She's running a big, powerful ministry in Camden, helping the same people, the people who are in the same position that she was in, you know, 20 years ago. I mean, that's what it's all about. That's what God does. He recycles that messed up life you had.
That's right.
And turns it into this beautiful thing that's useful for somebody else, right? And then it gives you purpose.
You know, all the time that I was in the military and the time that I spent in prison, you know, it doesn't make sense. I didn't do drugs in the military. I didn't do drugs while I was in prison, which they do.
Yeah, oh yeah, I know.
And I'm still not on drugs. It's not my forte.
Right, right.
So I have to do what God tells me to do.
That's right.
And what Christ puts in my heart.
That's right.
I have no use for nothing to damage this body here, this temple.
Yeah, that's right.
It's the temple that Jesus resides in.
That's right, amen.
And I'm going to keep him there, keep it clean.
All right, Tom. Well, that's what I want to hear, my man. 77 years old, still talking about it. That's what I like to hear. So I have another quote I want to read. This is one of my favorites. So this is from Paul Washer. If you've never listened to Paul Washer, I highly recommend you tuning in to some Paul Washer. Now, be prepared because he's not going to bring it soft.
No.
He's
going to bring it hard.
He's going to bring it hard.
Yeah, he's a hammer.
He's a hammer. But you're going to get convicted. You're going to get taught, and then you're going to turn. Okay? That's what kind of message he brings. Mm-hmm. Okay? And I thoroughly enjoy listening to him. But he has this quote, and I'm surprised he said it because I don't think he ever did that. Had problems with drugs or anything like that. But this thing he says, it's pretty amazing to me. I want you to hear it. And after you hear it, you're probably like, wow. So he says, have you ever wondered why some men who are drug addicts and women who are prostitutes and murderers and all so on and so forth, when they are converted, they seem to be filled with such a special zeal for God? It is because they didn't come from a country club. They didn't come from some religious denomination or religious life where everyone pretends to be moral, upstanding, and deserving of God's love. They came out of the sewer. And when they heard about the love of God, their hearts exploded.
Yes.
Now, I don't know about you, but that's true for me.
That's true for me, too.
That's true for me, because he pulled me out of the gutter. Because I was a drug addict, bum, lost, no love for myself, no love for anybody. And when he pulled me out, the love of God in my heart exploded, right? When I got a taste of that.
Mm. You know, the surprising thing for me when I was in prison, they called my name on the PA system.
Yeah.
They says, all the way. And I said, all the way? I said, I can't believe it. They're telling me I can go home.
Oof.
And I went and tapped on the window and asked them, what do you mean, me, all the way? Yes, you, she said. And the guard said, she said, pack it up and go home.
Wow. I can only imagine that feeling. After 20 years of being locked up.
Yeah, that feeling was
good
sweet.
Lord. Yeah, I'm sure it was. I did 11 months, and let me tell you. That feeling was sweet when I got out after 11 months. I can only imagine after 20 years. Well, praise the Lord, man. You're here now, and you're digging in.
That's
coming
right.
to church, coming to group, coming to F Troops in the morning. That's what I'm talking about, man.
You know, the first Sunday that I got home, Wesley, what you call Coleman, I called him by his middle name.
Okay.
I said, he said to me, you want to go to church? I said, sure.
Yes.
Yeah, he did.
That's awesome, right?
And he was ready to go.
Ready to go, good. And that's what you should have been doing.
Mm-hmm.
Say, you ready to go to church? So, Coleman, you did your job and you listened.
Yes,
now
sure.
you got your job to do too soon. So, listen, I'm going to read one more quote from Paul Washer because I think this one is good too. Although all believers are subject to many failings and can fall before the smallest temptation, their determination to continue in the faith and their gradual and progressive sanctification are great evidences of salvation and provide a solid ground for assurance.
Yes.
Okay. So although we fall to these temptations, the determination to continue in the faith and that gradual and progressive sanctification, because even though you fall and you sin, when you get up and you keep walking, that is a progressive sanctification.
Yeah, it is.
Right? You fell to that sin, you learn from that sin, you're convicted of that sin, then you get up. And then you sin no more, like Christ says, get up and sin no more. Right?
That's right. Mm-hmm.
Right. So anyway, that's what we're talking about tonight. I'd really like to hear somebody calling. Come on, people. I know somebody's got a testimony about something they went through that you can look back and say, you know what? God used that just to put me exactly where I am today. So when you get a chance, get on, call in 609-614-3801. Here's what I'm going to do. It's 1047. I'm going to take a quick break. I'm going to play a song, and then we'll be right back.
Until you stop breathing, till you stop bleeding, until your heart stops kick drum beating. When it's hard times, when it's long days, and the enemy is right up in your face. When your back's against the ropes, and you're feeling all alone. Keep fighting the good fight. Keep letting your light shine. 'Cause I'm never gonna leave you, always gonna see you through to the other side. Keep fighting the good, fighting the good, fighting the good fight, good fight. Even in the roadblocks, even through the rough spots, when you're feeling you're giving all that you got, I'm with you in the next step, giving you the next breath. I'll be the voice saying you're gonna make it. When you're out there on your own, you are never alone. Keep fighting the good fight. Keep letting your light shine. 'Cause I'm never gonna leave you, always gonna see you through to the other side. Keep fighting the good, fighting the good, fighting the good fight, good fight. Just keep on singing. See you.
All right, so that was Unspoken, man. That's a cool song.
That is a really good song.
Yeah, they're good. We saw them in concert maybe like 4 months ago, I think, 3 months ago at a church down south. And they were really good. Now, he comes from a history of drug addiction.
Oh, yeah?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he's a recovering. I mean, he's been through it, man. And he has a whole new life. And now he's out touring, man, singing cool songs like that.
Hey, man, I'm thankful that he's not Unspoken.
Yeah, because he's definitely speaking now. Yeah, right. Yeah. So that's a cool song. He's got another song I really like too, but I really do like Unspoken. So here's a scripture I want to read. Ready? Romans 5, 3 through 5. Romans 5, one of my favorite books is Romans. Mm-hmm. Romans 5, 3 through 5. Not only so, but we also glory in our sufferings, because we know that suffering produces perseverance. Perseverance, character, and character, hope. And hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. So Paul has come to understand that he values the suffering. I mean, that's a weird spot to be in, especially for him, because he's talking about his imprisonment, getting beaten, you know
right.
what I mean?
Right.
Whipped, flogged, stoned, shipwrecked, all of these things. But he's learned that he glories in them. He values them because he knows what that establishes. First thing it establishes is what? Perseverance. Mm-hmm. Right?
Right.
When you get through things, that establishes that you have learned how to persevere something, right?
Right.
I mean, how do you learn how to persevere something? You have to
go through something.
Go through something. That's right. So perseverance. And then that perseverance establishes a character trait in you, mm-hmm. right?
That's right.
Right. No matter what it is you're going through, whether it's depression, whether it's addiction, whether it's a loss of a family member or whatever, that situation, as you persevere through that, it establishes a character trait in you, okay? And then once that character blossoms and blooms, because you got through it, and now you've established some character, and you see that character being built in you, it starts giving you what? A little what?
A little faith.
A little faith and a little hope.
Hope, oh, right. Definitely, yeah.
Well, God, I got through that. God got me through that. I see what it's done for me. I see that I have another thing that I'm going to have to deal with now. So what's going to happen? In your mind,
you can pull from your past experience.
That's right.
And victory, and know that victory is certain ahead of you.
That's right. Right. You're going to go by, because he's the same yesterday, today, and forever.
Right.
So if he got you through it yesterday, and he's the same yesterday, today, and forever, that means the thing that you're about to go through now, he's going to do the same thing.
Amen.
Right?
Exactly.
So that suffering that we should learn, I hope we can be like Paul, that we learn to glory in that situation, right? We learn how valuable it is. So we learn to persevere through it. We learn how we build character out of it. And that character, after we persevere and we see that character built in us, we start to have hope. All right? So I have one more quote I want to read too also. Actually, I have two.
These are really good, Sean.
Thank you very much. Thank you. All right, so this one is from Napoleon Hill. I don't even know who he is. Do you know who Napoleon Hill is? Tom, you're a pretty smart guy. Do you know Napoleon Hill?
Napoleon?
No, Napoleon Hill, not Bonaparte.
I've never heard of Napoleon Hill.
I don't know who he is. So if somebody knows who he is, feel free to call in and let me know or text me. He says this, and I like this. Opportunity often comes disguised in the form of misfortune or temporary defeat.
True that.
That's almost what Paul is saying in the scripture, right?
Yeah, he is.
Opportunity often comes disguised in the form of misfortune. Or temporary defeat. Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. So when these things happen to us, we go through these trials, these situations, whatever we're going through, it's really a disguise for opportunity.
That's right.
Right? Yes, the opportunity is, how are we going to handle this situation? Mm-hmm. Am I going to collapse and fold, or am I going to learn perseverance?
You got to learn perseverance.
That's right. Am I going to, if I am going to hold on to Christ and persevere through that? Okay, so here's what I want to do, just in case my Aunt Jane is listening.
Oh, yeah. Hi, Aunt Jane.
Hi, Aunt Jane. Okay, I hope she's listening. I hope she's tuned in. I just want to give a shout out to my Aunt Jane. We love her very much. Once again, she's usually my overcomer groupie
yes.
with my mother-in-law, Mary. But Mary was there visiting tonight. She's battling cancer right now. And we are praying for her because we love her.
Yes,
we love her. And we know that God has a glorious plan for her. And that whether he decides, and this is the beauty of Christ, whether he decides to heal you and keep you for a while, or he decides to take you home, it's a win-win, right?
Never losing battle.
You can't lose, right?
That's right.
Because there will be a day. Uh-huh. And that day is inevitable. And that's the beauty of Christ, that day is going to come. So we're praying for Aunt Jan. Aunt Jan, I love you very much. We're praying that God just gives you his peace and that he brings you comfort. He brings a healing touch to your body. But we know that you know Christ and that we are excited for the glorious future that he has in store for you. So I just wanted to give a shout out to my Aunt Jane and my mother, Mary, who's there probably with her, keeping her company. Hi, Mary. She's famous, my mother-in-law.
Yeah, she's
pretty famous.
She's pretty famous.
Yeah, people. Yeah. A lot of people know my mother-in-law. You know what I mean? When we go out places, everybody wants to sit near her and be near her.
Yeah,
right? She's usually the center of attention. You know what I mean? Come on. Anyway, so I got one more quote, okay? I'm going to quote one more time. Uh-oh. Helen sent us something on Google, who Napoleon Hill is. Let me see if I can find it. I'm going to open this up and see who Napoleon Hill is. Helen, thank you so much. Napoleon Hill is an author. American, he's a self-help author. Known best for his books, Think and Grow Rich. I've read that book.
Yes,
I know who it is now. Now I know. Okay. Well, anyway, that quote was good. Opportunity often comes disguised in the form of misfortune or temporary defeat. And then from my boy, my favorite preacher that I like to listen to. My favorite of favorite of favorites of favorites. Who I've been listening to probably for 4 years straight now, just about every day. John MacArthur.
John MacArthur is very good.
Yes, yeah. He don't pull no punches either. Mm-hmm. He says this, and I love this. The real key to accepting and enduring a particular trial or persecution or to persevere victoriously through a certain period of suffering is discipleship.
That's right.
I want you to listen to that again. Mm-hmm. The real key to accepting and enduring a particular trial or persecution or to persevering victoriously through a certain period of suffering is discipleship. So to me, I think what he's saying is, it is super important that we are being discipled, okay? Right. And that we are learning the things of Christ and holding on to those things. But also that as we're going through those things, they're part of knowing that it's discipling you. Those trials are part of your
everyday life,
discipleship.
Yes.
Right.
Oh, okay. I got a hold of it in a different.
How did you get it?
More so as the person who is discipling.
Right.
You know, when you're telling your story, when you're serving someone else.
Right. That's right.
You're definitely receiving, and you're growing.
I like that
also.
Too. I like that too. So I think I would have to say it's probably both. I'm going to go with both things because that is part of your discipleship. Mm-hmm. That suffering, realizing this is part of my discipleship, and then. Say what you just said?
You as the person who was discipling.
Right.
You know, serving someone else, giving of yourself, your time, your wisdom.
That's the key to real victory.
You know, persevering. It's building you up as well.
Yes, persevering through real trials. That's good, Coleman. That was a good perspective, my man. Let me give you a pound for that one. All right. That was good. So that's what we were talking about tonight. And I hope somebody got something out of that as we're about to close, that whatever you're going through right now, I don't care what it is, okay, you got to look at it as an opportunity. All right?
That's
for right. You to persevere, to get character, and to establish more hope.
Right.
Because God's not going to let you endure, not put you in that situation or allow that situation to happen in your life.
That's it.
Without walking you through it and getting you to the next step. So, and it's even for anybody, you know, drug addicts, you know, all that time I use in drugs is now going to become valuable to somebody else because I can help them with their addiction.
That's
right. Mm-hmm. I can relate to them. People who lost their children, I can relate to them, right?
That's right.
People who have done long stents in prison, I can't really relate to that. But Tom?
Yes, I can.
You can relate to that, right?
Yes, I can.
One
who's gone through divorce. Coleman?
I can relate to that.
He can relate to that. So that's what it is. God recycles our pain, uses it for our gain, hope for others, and for his glory.
Amen.
Amen. All right, guys. So listen, thanks for listening in. I would say thanks for calling in,
But nobody called.
But nobody called in tonight. I can't believe Faith didn't even call.
That's the first
time. That's the first time, because Faith is faithful Faith. She always calls in. I'm going to have to bring this up at group next Friday, basketball. Why shouldn't call in?
Okay.
Anyway, guys, listen, we love you. We're thankful for listening.
Thank you.
Tune in. Don't forget, every day, 4 o'clock, Word of the Day. Thursdays at 4, Conversations with Russ. Friday nights at 10, Overcomers Radio Hour. Friday nights at 7, Overcomers Group. Thanks, guys. We love you. God bless you. Have a wonderful evening.
And
Life Radio WIFI is streaming live around the world on liferadionj.com.
I searched the earth for something that could satisfy, a piece for the hurt I had buried deep inside. Knees on the floor, I finally found everything I needed. You lifted my soul and opened up my eyes. Chasing after what won't last. I'm done with building these castles that crumble like sand.